I have all my buttons pressed, I think. Thank you, Clay, and Jesse, and Kay, and all the others who participated in the service this morning. We couldn't get along without you, so thank you. It was dark when you got up. You walked to go to the probably the worst place on earth you could have gone. But it was the only one available. The only place that all of you could be together. It was the heart of the power of your enemy. The one who had killed the reason you were all together. And yet, the temple precincts allowed for a group this size, about 120, to meet together in one place. And so it was that you were in one of the upper rooms off the temple courtyard. And the door was shut and you were quiet because you were afraid of the people that might overhear. Who might overhear you say the name of the one they had executed, Jesus Christ, who you know because many of you were there when he rose into heaven about a week ago. And here it is, one of the holy days, one of the festival days, 50 days since Passover. And the city is full to bursting, and you don't know what you're going to do. You are scared. You are frightened. They killed Jesus, and Jesus left. And Jesus said, "Go wait." The hardest command in the English language, or in any other language. Go wait. And so you were waiting. Waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. But you don't really understand what that even means. And so, whispering to one another in prayers, whispering to one another in promises, and in questionable interpretations of Scripture, you try to figure out what you're doing. And then it starts. There is a sound. A sound like 1,000 ram horn trumpets. The sound of the destructive winds blowing off the coast. And it fills your ears to the point that it is shaking the room and you feel like you are swimming in a lake that has been struck by lightning. Every inch of your body feels like it's on fire. You look out and you see that all the company is so affected. That there are leaping from one to another gouts of flame, of light, and you are being changed, and you are speaking, and words are coming out of your mouth, and you don't know where they come from, but somehow they're about Jesus. And you are motivated to get out of that room, to go, to move, to do something, and you spill out into the streets of Jerusalem, streets that are packed with people from all over the world, and you are talking. And maybe the leaders have taken to the temple courtyard, but you go and you find a street. You spread out by as if you had actually conceived of a plan when you know there was none. And you talk. You stand up on boxes, on walls, on overturned carts, and you speak. And you speak to the hearts and minds of all that are gathered. And somehow they understand you. even though maybe you don't even know what you're saying yourself. And in the end, where there were about 120 of you, there are 3,000 of you. And there are too many now for them to round you up and kill you like they did Jesus. There are too many of you now for them to stop you. There are too many of them now, even though they will bring forces to bear to persecute you and torment you and, yeah, even kill some of you. It can't be stopped. And you will scatter. The very thing that they thought would destroy you will actually make you grow. And you will scatter. And you will go, as he said, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you will speak just like you spoke that day, that Pentecost day, because there's something in you. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. It is the day we became something else. The day that we stopped being a group of disciples of Jesus, followers of a specific rabbi, a specific teacher, and we became his body. We became the manifestation of Jesus on earth. Did you know that's what you were? That you are the continuation of Jesus' ministry. You are his body. That Jesus, once he came to earth, he was only gone a week. He ascended into heaven, and yet he made his body again on the earth in each one of you. And just as he had power to raise the dead and heal the sick and to change lives, he gave that power to you. The Holy Spirit makes us something different than what we were. God's Spirit dwells in each and every one of us in a way it never did before the day of Pentecost. If you read the Old Testament, you find that God's Spirit would dwell with people for a time, for a task, to preach a sermon, to lead an army, to design the temple. But hardly always. Only David even comes close to that. And so we have a gift. And when you read the Old Testament and you read about Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and all of those guys who did all of these great things, they don't have what you have. They don't have God with them always. They don't have God's voice whispering to them always, if you will just listen. They don't have God's Spirit in them always. They don't have God's power in them always. And what Peter said that morning was that this birth, and like most births, it was noisy and messy. And if you were around, you really can't ignore it. He said, this is just proof of what God said long ago, that everybody would be changed. That the young would be changed, and the old would be changed, and the men would be changed, and the women would be changed, and that they could speak for God. That you can speak for God. Now, if you were a really good scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures, you might have realized that in this moment, God has done something to twist a story told long ago. In Genesis, if you go way back, there's an event we call the Tower of Babel, where human beings gathered together and decided they were going to make something of themselves, that they were going to reach up to heaven, that they were going to change the world. And God said, no, down, bad humans. And he knocked over their tower, and he scattered their languages, and he scattered them, and what they had planned came to nothing. But what God planned changes the world. God gathered the people together. God, instead of changing their languages so that there would be confusion and disunity, God gave them the same spirit so that they would all talk with the same voice. So that when they scattered, it would not be for their detriment, but for the benefit of the whole world. God changed us, and in changing us, changes the world. When we act out of our selfish ambition, when we act out of protectionism for ourselves and those who we consider our own, those that we have decided are like us, when we do that, it ultimately fails. It ultimately gets God's attention, and he says no. And it comes to nothing. But when we act together for God's purpose and God's plan, and yeah, sometimes we don't even know what that is, but we just open ourselves up and say, here I am, send me, then the world changes. The world you woke up to this morning was a pretty dark place. We saw attacks in London again that are just completely random. Honestly, there's no protection from a random event like that. You can take precautions, but you can't plan for everything. Some of you had people you really cared about die this week. Some of you have people that you really care about that you're having to take care of because they are suffering in some unexpected way. Some of you have hearts that are broken. Some of you have confusion and lack of purpose and lack of direction. And guess what? It's all okay. We all do. But you are capable of more than you know. Not because you're good enough or smart enough for people like you, but because God's Spirit dwells within you. And God can make you something that you never thought you could be. And God can give you the ability to do something that you never thought you could do. Okay, I'm not fishing for compliments with this next statement, okay? I have a speech impediment. I went through speech therapy for years to not manifest it. And sometimes when I get too excited or nervous or upset, I still do. I have high social anxiety. I take medicine for it. The one thing in the world that I cannot do is stand up in front of people and talk. I can't. I would be paralyzed. I would be tongue-tied if I had to do that. I can't do it. And yet, about 25 years ago, God said, this is what you're going to do. And I didn't really have a choice in the matter. Because when I don't, I'm miserable. Okay? That's not about me. It's not about any good that Scott does. It's about God's Spirit at work. And there's probably something. I mean, we could go on. I wound up in another country teaching people in a foreign language. I definitely, you know, barely talk to people in English, much less in a foreign language. But God's Spirit pushes you and makes you what you need to be when you need to be it. You just have to be willing. And there are probably places and things that you thought, I will never go there and I will never do that because I can't. And God says, oh, wait, yeah, you can. Because when you do it, you are not yourself. You are part of the body of Christ. Pentecost reminds you of that. It reminds you to open yourself up and go. To open yourself up and listen. To open yourself up and know that you can do it. Not because of who you are. In fact, in spite of the fact that you are who you are, God can do it. And if every single one of us could open ourselves up just a little bit more to that, oh, the world would be a really different place.